want you to turn with me to Psalm 84 that we read and consider for a little while verse 6. Psalm 84, verse 6, we read about the Valley of Baca. Valley of Baca. This whole psalm, you'll notice, is concerned with the house of God. It's a psalm which has a title to the musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. And the sons of Korah were part of the tribe of Levi, who had the charge of the tabernacle and then of the temple. And you'll notice that in verse 10 we read, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." That was precisely the job that these people did. They were the doorkeepers in the house of God. And as you read through this psalm, you are breathing something of the delights of the house of God. We've come together this morning for our worship, for fellowship with one another, for the delight of being in God's house, reading God's word together, singing God's praises together. Surely to us Christians, this is something that is very vital and very, as it were, renewing in the week in which we spend ourselves. And this psalm is talking about those who are delighting in the things of God. It almost represents a pilgrimage to Zion. Verse 5, we read, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them." That doesn't seem to make much sense. And so the Revised gives us this, "In whose heart is the highway to Zion?" In whose heart is the highway to Zion? This is his ambition, this is his target, this is what he's longing for, longing to come to the place that represented to these Israelites the presence of God in the midst of the nation. He's breathing a desire to come nearer to God. This is always a desire of the true believer, come to a nearer experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot identify this valley geographically. It's not translated in our authorized version, the Valley of Baca, but you may have the marginal reading which talks about the vale of mulberry trees or of balsam trees. But there is also the translation which tells us it's the Valley of Weeping. The Valley of Weeping. It's about this that I want particularly to speak this morning. The Valley of Weeping. First and foremost, I want us to see how we come into the Valley of Baca, of Weeping. How do we come? The place of weeping, the place of desolation, the place, more literally, of dryness. And here we find that the man of God is involved. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Strength that is in God, about whom he has been speaking in the earlier verses. Here's a man whose heart is fixed upon God, whose strength is held by God, who is seeking the presence of God, who's making the pilgrimage, as it were, to the house of God and into the courts of God. This man comes to the Valley of Baca. I want us just to use imagination concerning this. The other psalm that we read is called A Song of Degrees. And it's quite possible that that section of the Book of Psalms was used by pilgrims making the journey to Jerusalem for the great Jewish feast, three times a year, singing as they went. And this Psalm 84 gives us not only that idea of the physical pilgrimage, but of the spiritual pilgrimage of the person who draws near for worship and praise and adoration of God. He's on his way, filled with the joy of God, filled with the expectation of the presence of God. And his way has been so enjoyable. He's been walking upon the mountains. And and we all have our mountaintop experiences from time to time. He's felt the spring in his step. He has felt the enervating, the atmosphere of energy that has come to him on the heights. He's known the presence of God, shall we put it this way, in spiritual life. He has had a graphic and vital experience of God, and he's rejoicing in it as he makes his way to praise and magnify God. But his pathway now is beginning to descend. He's been in the beautiful, fertile land, and now he's coming down to the lowlands. And as he does so, he finds that the energy has gone from his step. He finds that the way is becoming hard. He hasn't sought it. He hasn't looked for it. But here it is. He's entering into the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping. There's no alternative, it seems. The pathway of his pilgrimage that leads him into deeper fellowship with God, the way, the highway to Zion, seems to lead from the mountains down into this valley, and he has to follow this pathway. And as he comes down from those wonderful atmospheres of the mountain ranges, so he finds the weather begins to get sultry, the atmosphere begins to get heavy, the hills begin to close in from the sides, he begins to feel oppressed. His step is no longer sprightly and virile. His steps are beginning to drag. And something of the vision of Zion and all that he had hoped for is beginning to fade in the hardness of the way. This man is entering into the Valley of Baca. How do we come to the Valley of Baca? Sometimes it's even in the midst of our pilgrimage so far as the deepening experience of God is concerned. This man's heart is filled with the highway of Zion. But he's led into this valley. This valley of dryness, this valley of weeping. And it's not his fault. So often people think about their experiences of the valley. Valley of weeping, which may well come to us. It may come in bereavement. It may come in business difficulties and loss. It may come in ill health. It may come in the tangle of human relationships which have gone astray. Somewhere along the Christian pathway, surely, there comes to most of us, if not all of us, a valley of Baca, the valley of weeping, a valley of hardness and of dryness, time when it seems as if everything is spiritually dead, as if a drought has set in our spiritual lives, as if the heavens are as brass, the prayer is answered. We are perplexed with difficulties and problems and things have gone wrong. We've come into the valley of Baca. And sometimes we say, well, why has this happened to me? Why has this come about? What's gone wrong? There may be something that's gone wrong. It may be, of course, that we have wandered out of the pathway of God's will. It may be that we have been guilty of things that, of which he didn't approve. But there are experiences of the valley of Baca, of spiritual drought, I'm quite sure, that have nothing to do with what we have done. They're not a punishment for our wrongdoing. It's part of the highway to Zion. It's part of the way through which God is leading us into the glorious fellowship of his house and of himself. No, there's not always a blame attached to this. And when we come as God leads us into the valley of Baca, let us not be those necessarily who question what God is doing. Let the Holy Spirit search our hearts in case there is anything amiss. But having done this, and having confessed, and having known forgiveness, let us realize the Valley of Baca is part of life's experiences. that he's bringing us into for his own purposes, as we see in a moment. I'm quite sure that this man in his pilgrimage, or these people in their pilgrimage, had not reckoned with this. They thought that they were going on to Zion with a song on their lips, with joy in their hearts, with praise radiated by their very beings. Hadn't bargained on the Valley of Baca. And sometimes in our Christian experience we started off like that, didn't we? And we look back over the years and we say, why, what spring was in our step when we first started. What a wonderful experience we had of Jesus Christ, how prayer was being answered, how God's word lit up, how the oneness of Christ in the fellowship was a vibrating real thing. But somehow there's been a dryness set in. It may not necessarily be our own fault. There are many, many millions of people in the world today, godly Christian folk, who are praying and praying for the breath of God's Spirit, because of the dryness that's going on in the realm of the Spirit in the Christian world. Dryness of which we are conscious in our churches, of which we are conscious in the life of the Christian, our own lives. People are longing that there might come a renewing breath of the Holy Spirit throughout the world of the Christian. And meanwhile, perhaps we find ourselves in the Valley of Baca. So we come to it not necessarily, and I'm not thinking this morning of those things which are sinful that bring us into a place of lack of fellowship with God. But we come somewhere in the experience of life to the Valley of Baca. And it's not our fault. And we have to dare to believe that God has brought us to it, as he brought these people to it, in Psalm 84. So that brings me to say, well now, how must we act when we're in the Valley of Baca? How must we act? This is very important. And it seems, of course, from this psalm that not everybody knows how they should act when they come to such an experience. Verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart is the highway of Zion. And it has the emphasis that blessed is that man, that particular man, who has such a vital knowledge of God from past experience that he now knows how to act in the Valley of Baca. Notice in the verse 6 that it speaks about this man passing through the valley. And this must be the first attitude that we adopt. That what we have come into is not a dead end, a cul-de-sac. It is a valley which has an opening at the other end that is designed to lead on the highway to Zion further still. In other words, it's a temporary experience on the way to the sunshine of God's further approval and God's further blessing to us. This is rather hard to see when you're in the Valley of Baca. But this is what God would say to us here. The man whose strength is in thee, in God, is passing through this experience. And it's part of the highway experience to Zion. You know, sometimes when the storms of life come upon us, we're apt to sit down in a resigned sort of pessimism, a resigned sort of despair. And people say, well, of course, you know, it's my cross, I must learn to bear. There's a great deal of misunderstanding about using a phrase like that. And I'm quite sure that God never intended that we should sit down and despair if we have a vital faith in him at all. We say to ourselves, this is all we can expect. Oh no, God says that we must go on. Now, how does this man act in the Valley of Baca? And it tells us, passing through the Valley of Baca, the Valley of Dryness, he makes it a well. This man in whom is the power of God and the oneness of God and the fellowship with God, this man comes to the Valley of Dryness And he transforms it into a well, or a valley of springs, which is another translation. What a wise man he is. What a blessed man he is. He comes to this place, and which seems to be so devastating an experience, and yet he transforms it into a place of blessing. He does it in two ways, perhaps. He searches and finds out, even there, something that can refresh his soul. He searches in the valley for something that will renew his faith and his strength and his fellowship with God. He discovers even in the place of dryness the well. Is this hard? Is this impossible? I wonder whether we have come into our valley of Baikal experience and it seemed to be so tragic, and yet we have looked and we've prayed and we've asked God to show us, and God has shown us that within this valley of dryness there's a well. A new well of salvation, if you like, a well that's going to renew our strength and make us stronger for it. There's also the idea that this man has brought into it something that has been spoken about as a well. Who passing through the valley of Baikal, make it a well. He comes into this place of dryness where you can't expect anything. And yet, because of his past experience of God, because of the faith that is holding him to the highway of Zion, he brings into this valley something that transforms him. And this shows us how important it is that we should be living close to the Lord. When we're walking on the mountains, it shows us how much we need to take part in prayer and in Bible reading and study, privately, corporately, doesn't matter which, but both are part and parcel of our Christian experience, in order that we may be built up and strengthened in whose strength is in thee. It wasn't when he got to the valley of Baikal that the man sought the strength of God. It was way back before ever that experience came to him. Way back before he ever imagined that he was coming to a place of dryness. And this is why we need to build up our Christian life in succession, in a sequence. In the days when everything seems to be right, when everything is going well, this will mean that we are mature Christians when we come to the valley of Baikal and we're able to bring into a dry experience all that we've known in the past of God. This is how the psalmist would suggest that we act when we come to the valley of Baikal. You have a very clear illustration in the person like John Bunyan. John Bunyan, who was so faithful to the Lord and was thrown into prison over in Bedford and 12 long years spent in imprisonment for preaching of Jesus Christ. And in the Valley of Baikal experience, which it seemed as John Bunyan was in the prison, there came the well. He wrote Pilgrim's Progress. He brought into it his past experience. And he, as it were, he dramatized it in a book. A book that has brought untold joy and relief and strengthening and renewal to Christians down through the years. Have you tried dealing with this Valley of Baikal like this? In your own experience, it's been unknown to others maybe. You've got something in your life which others can't share. Yet as you come into this place of dryness, you've brought into it an experience of God of the past which leads you to discover an experience of God in the present. And the well has sprung up, and you've come to know God as you've never known him before. Passing through the Valley of Baikal. And of course we could refer to the fact that Paul knew something of this. When he spoke about the thorn in the flesh, but didn't know deliverance, He discovered instead in that valley the well of grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Finally, I want us to look at how we leave the valley of Baca. First, how we came to it, then how we act in it. Now, how do we leave it? I'm not suggesting how we get out of it. This is not scrambling out of the valley. But in what condition do we leave the valley behind us? We've been through the experience. We're on the highway to Zion. And God has taken us into this valley. We've discovered the well there. We've learned of him. And we've continued on our journey out of the valley, away back onto the mountain tops, as it were. What have we left behind? Verse 6, the rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. You'll notice that there's a change here. In verse 5, we read, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. When we come to verse 7, they go from strength to strength. They go. There are now others involved. There has been one individual who has come into the valley. He has now moved on. The pilgrim has gone on. And what do we find? There are left behind him pools. The rain also filleth the pools. And after his experience, the valley is no longer the dry valley of Baca. Why are the pools there now? In order to lighten the experience of those who follow. And when others come this way, and they must come through this way, we find that they go from strength to strength because they pass through the valley that should have been dry, and they discovered in it the pools that have been left by the previous man. You see these weary pilgrims, as they too have come down from the mountaintop, as they too have come into the oppressive atmosphere of the valley, whose steps also have dragged. They have come down now to discover not what the other man discovered. They found the valley of Baca to be a place of pools, left behind for the refreshment of other pilgrims. How does this work out? I want to suggest, my friends, that most of us have seen people go through a Valley of Baca experience. You have seen a fellow Christian who has had a shattering tragedy. You've seen a fellow Christian who's gone through a time of tremendous testing and hardship. And as you've watched, you've been amazed that their testimony has been one of the grace of God and brought glory to God. In one of my churches in Herefordshire, we had a dear old lady. She was old when I went there. And this dear old lady was a tremendous help to my wife and I. If we ever felt a little bit depressed by the pressure of the church, and don't forget the pastors do feel the pressure of the church sometimes, we would go and visit this lady, and she did us no end of good. Her life seemed to have had more than its quota of the Valley of Baca. She had a child born blind, died at the age of 2. She lost another child at the age of 5. She had a daughter of 20 who died of tuberculosis in the August of 1 year. And the sister of that woman, aged 21, died the following month. Her husband eventually died of cancer. And while I was there, her eldest daughter died of cerebral hemorrhage. And this old lady was 80. And she lived with 3 other daughters, single ladies. And the night when the eldest sister died, it was she who gathered these other 3 together. They were shattered. But she was the one who gathered them, as they always did at night in the lounge. And she was the one who read from God's word, and she was the one who prayed. And as these others came into the Valley of Baca, I experienced this one, who'd been that way before, was able to impart strength and poise to these. No wonder she was a tremendous asset in the church. No wonder she was such an encourager of Christians, this person. This was how she'd left the Valley of Baca, a place of renewal and refreshment for others. She came out radiant. So when we come to the Valley of Baca, let us recognize it for what it is. It's on the pathway, on the highway to Zion, on the highway to a deeper experience of God. We won't turn round and try and come out where we went in. That would be turning our backs upon the vision that God has given us right at the start. We won't be those who rebel against what God has done in our lives. For we know that God is going to give us far more if we pursue the pilgrimage that He has caused us to start. This psalm, and I close, this psalm starts off with how amiable are thy tabernacles. It speaks about the house of God, about Zion. It ends with Zion too. When we think about the day and thy courts is better than 1,000. Yes, the psalm begins and finishes with the praise of God's house and of God's presence and fellowship with God. But right in the middle is the Valley of Baca. And if you've started in this place of God, and you want to finish in this place of Zion praising God, it seems that God will take you through the Valley of Baca. But we mustn't turn back. We must be those who persist. We must be those who go from strength to strength, and every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. And because of our experience, not in spite of it, but because of it, we shall know God in a deeper way. We shall be able to help others in a more realistic way. We shall be able to rejoice in the renewed vision as we draw near to the palace of the king. Valley of Baca, a place of weeping, transformed into a place of glory.